Senti questo rumore. Non capisco cos'è.
Rumore?
Sì, un rumore del motore della macchina.
Non lo sento. Preferisci fare una pausa? Andiamo
Sì, è meglio.
a mangiare e poi a dormire. Sono stanco.
Pizza?
Non ci piove.
Ok, buongiorno a tutti, buongiorno Marco.
Ciao Martin, buongiorno. Come stai? Come va?
Meglio del tempo.
Meglio del tempo, meglio del tempo. Sì. Martin
Sì.
vive in Inghilterra. Martin lives in England, so yeah.
Sì, la casa del cattivo tempo, is
La
it?
casa del...
Adesso.
Sì, puoi dire la casa del cattivo o del brutto tempo. Sì.
Sì,
So.
cattivo del brutto tempo. Sì, come stai, Marco?
Io sto bene, grazie. Ho, come nel dialogo, like in the dialogue, sono un po' stanco, però bene.
Un po' stanco, ma perché?
Perché è venerdì e quindi sì, voglio il weekend. I want the
Ok.
weekend. Yeah.
Non hai un caffè?
Sì.
Ah.
Sì, pronto. E tu come stai, Martin?
Sì, bene, grazie. Bene. Non sono stanco.
Bene.
Sono, I don't know, fresco. Is there a way, can you feel fresh? Can you feel what's
Can you? Puoi dire, you could say riposato, it's like I'm
Riposato, I'm
rested,
relaxed.
yeah, o rilassato anche, yeah, that's so good.
Rilassato, riposato.
Yeah,
Ok.
fresco sounds a lot like a bad translation from English. Yeah, we don't really use fresco in that. You could say, I guess, an idiom that we're not gonna see today because we have another one, could be fresco come una rosa.
Ok,
Yeah, fresh like a
so
rose.
simile all'inglese. Yeah.
Do you?
Sì.
Ah.
Ma fresco puoi usarlo come ubriaco.
Fresco come ubriaco, like drunk.
Yeah,
I've never.
in English sometimes you'd say I feel a bit fresh and I
Oh.
feel drunk. They're quite similar.
No. No. For us, fresh is only positive meanings. So like you
Okay.
feeling like healthy, let's say, because you know, drunk you can feel well, but you're not gonna be, I don't know, fresco. It's
Yeah, kind
not.
of. I think on the scale of getting drunk, fresco would be the part on the scale where actually you're feeling quite good. You've got a buzz on. Yeah.
Okay. No, but we wouldn't say no. We wouldn't use it in that way. We would just say, yeah, like. Ubriaco is strong. We probably say something like brillo, like shining, that
Brillo.
kind of thing.
Shining.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah,
Yeah, so it's not
brillo.
too far.
Okay. Maybe I'm going to start the trend then. When I'm in Italy, I'm going to start saying, sono un po' fresco.
Bene, okay. Well, maybe, we don't know how languages evolve. Maybe you're going to be the responsible for a change in the Italian language. That would be pretty cool.
That could be my kind of my legacy that I leave
Your
to this planet.
legacy. We're gonna have your Wikipedia page. Martin, what did he do? He introduced the word fresco to say a little bit drunk in Italian. That would be
Oh.
fun.
How proud my family will be.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah. What's the word? Orgoglioso? How is it?
Orgoglioso. Sì.
Orgoglioso.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Okay. So, how about we get
Yeah, I
started?
think that's possibly a good idea. What are we doing this week, Marco?
Okay, this week we're doing the last conjugation, la terza coniugazione,
Sì.
which is quite easy, I think, because it's very similar to the second, but there is an extra level of difficulty, which we will see in a
Yes.
second, because there can be two different third conjugations, which is confusing.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that appears easy because you think, wow, it just conjugates almost exactly the same as the second conjugation.
Right.
And then,
Yeah,
yeah.
and we will just leave the cliffhanger here. And if you want to know what happens, do not miss this episode of Italian Diamo.
Tune in next week.
Getting good. Okay, let's go. Let's
Okay,
see what the
so
dialogue says, what this thing is
let's
today.
see what it says. Okay, so the first line then, senti questo rumore. Okay, so rumore is a noise. I guess that's where we get rumors from in English. We know questo is this. Senti is from the verb sentire, which is to hear, but also to feel.
Very good. Yes, sentire is a very interesting verb because to us these two things are not too different, to feel and to hear. So it means both. In this case, obviously, if it's a noise, rumore, it's probably going to be to hear, not to feel it. But it's not too different, I guess, for us.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one though, isn't it? Because you're combining two sensations there, right? It's like having a verb that combines hearing and smelling, isn't it?
You're
Or
right.
seeing and smelling, and kind of, yeah, I guess you it's the context, isn't it, perhaps?
It is definitely going to be context. Give me one second. Let me think here. We do have the word senses, and the word senses includes many different things, right? So maybe that's kind of what we're thinking of. Although you wouldn't say sentire if you're looking, for example. So I don't know. You do know, however, we do have another verb that is a bit more focused than sentire. How would you say to listen, Martin?
Ascoltare.
Very good. Yeah, and the difference between ascoltare and sentire is the same as the difference between guardare and vedere, so to watch and to see.
Okay, I
Good?
get it. Well, sentire then is an aorii verb, and then senti because I can see again. We've got this the I at the end there, which is the same as in the first two conjugations. So obviously it's the second person singular. So do you hear that noise? I mean, you could feel a noise, but I guess it's you're hearing the noise, aren't
But
you?
yeah, the meaning is obviously clear. And it's il rumore, which we repeat another couple of times. It's one of those masculine nouns ending in an E, an E, like for example, cane, which is not super common, but not completely uncommon either.
Okay, yeah, good. Non capisco cos'è. Capisco. Interesting. So capisco, I know, comes from capire because it is a very common verb that you're learning. When you learn a language, you need to be able to understand things. So capire. But then all of a sudden, it changes.
It
It's
does.
not capio, is it? Or capo, it's capisco. Are you going to blame the Romans for.
You know, I actually looked up why this happens, and we will talk about it in a second, and I forgot. I do think it's their fault, though. We will see it's a very common occurrence in the third conjugation. And actually, this form that we have here is technically irregular, but it's more common than the regular. So I'm going to question the meaning of regular at this point. If the irregular form happens more commonly than the irregular one, then maybe we should change what we call them. But we will talk about that in a second. Capisco, however, obviously means I understand. And as you say, it's one of the very first verbs I think that you learn in Italian, because non capisco, I don't understand, it's something that you need to know. If you go to Italy, you want someone to repeat, that's a phrase that you better know.
Yeah, that's it. And you hear the same verb used in millions of American gangster films, don't you?
There you go. And we'll see in a second that as it often is the case, they butcher it. It's not capiche, but we'll see in a second what it is. It's very similar, but it's a bit different. And so yeah, that didn't think about it, but you're right. Yeah, Joe Pesci would be proud of us.
Absolutely, Joe Fish.
Joe Fish.
Right, okay. Non capisco cos'è. I don't understand what it is.
Right. Cos'è here? We have this nice contraction. Cos, for those of you who cannot read, well, we're not reading, let's say. Hopefully, you all can read.
Wow, you're attacking everyone this week, aren't
Man,
you?
today
People
we're just
can't
going
hear,
at.
people can't read.
Cos apostrophe and then an E with the accent is the contraction of cosa è, so what it is, the it being implied. So cos'è is this very compact way to say what it is.
Cool. And then the next line is simply rumore, question mark. So noise.
Noise. Yeah, I'm asking what noise. You could also say quale rumore, right? Or che rumore, which noise? But okay, it's the same.
Sì, un rumore del motore della macchina. Okay, so yes, a noise of a motor of and I always think this is an interesting one, this, because I guess we kind of only have one real word for car. You seem to have quite a lot of different words for cars. And I wonder whether automobile, machina, where would you use which, or do they just, does everyone use both? Is it a southern word, a northern word?
It's a very good question you ask. I think I can think of three words that we commonly use for car, which are, as you said, automobile, so automobile, which sometimes is shortened to auto, which is a feminine word as well, l'auto, la auto, and then macchina, la macchina, also feminine, which literally the machine, right? I would say l'automobile is the proper form. Fiat, the Fabbrica Italiana Automobile Torino, so Italian factory automobile Turin, which is the city where Fiat was originally located. Now it's in half in the Netherlands and half in the UK, the tax and the whatever, where they pay taxes and where their legal headquarters is. So automobile is the proper one, but people will informally say often la macchina. It's the way that I would call it is la macchina, and it's just the most common way to say it.
Nonocento, so this is obviously from Sentieri again, and because of the o at the end, obviously it's the first person. So I'm guessing I don't hear it
Very good.
because
Yes,
I'm
that
not.
lo means it in this context. We're going to talk about pronouns at some point, Martin, here, but in this case, yeah, suffices to say, non lo sento, I don't hear it, or I cannot hear it, you would say in English.
Yeah, and then we've got another one of the isk verbs coming up here because we've got preferisci fare una pausa. Okay,
Sì.
so preferisci comes from preferire.
Preferire,
And so obviously with the I at the end, again, you're going to guess that that's the second person. Would you prefer
sì.
fare una pausa, which is to take a break?
To literally to make a break, but yes, to take a break. So in Italian we say we don't say we don't take breaks, we make breaks, but it's the same idea. So I obviously we know that the verb fare is irregular, but after preferire and as we know, potere, can, volere, want, dovere, must, we always use verbs in the infinitive form. So we don't need to worry about conjugating fare, right? We just say preferisci, and therefore what happens, whatever comes next is going to be in the infinitive form. So fare, to do or to make.
So, see, Emilio, yes, it would be best.
Yes,
It is
very good.
better.
Okay, very good. So if you were to explain as best as you can the difference between bene and buono, Martin, how would you say the difference is in English?
Well, bene, I would always say is well. Bono is good.
Very good, yes. And so for both in English, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're comparing it, you say better. So better can be more good or more well, right?
Yes.
For us in Italian, that doesn't happen. So if you would say più bene, more well, it's meglio. Whereas if you would say più buono, you would say più buono, which is fine, or migliore. Right? So meglio means more well. So better as in
Okay.
more well.
Okay. Right. Maybe we should do a lesson on a comparative, things like meglio and peggiore, and maybe that'd be
We can
a
talk
good
about
thing to
those,
do.
sure.
Okay, next line. Andiamo a mangiare e poi a dormire. Sono stanco. Well, we know sono stanco because we keep saying that. I'm tired. Andiamo, we know, is let's go because it's just such a great phrase, which is kind of how we've got the name of this podcast.
Very good.
So, andiamo a mangiare, let's go to eat. E poi, and then, a dormire, to sleep. And next line is easily enough, pizza. And then finally, a line that I'm quite baffled with, non ci piove.
Yes, non ci piove.
This is one of those where I'm going to get confused again between piove and pioggia,
Yes.
with raining or tears. I'm going to say that this is don't rain on us or something like that.
It's okay, that ci does not mean us in this case. Ci can mean us, but it also can mean on it. Ci is a very interesting particle. For example, you can think of it as the same thing as in to say c'è, right? There is. So it's a there in this context. So literally that means It does not rain on it, right?
Okay.
And the meaning would be there's no question about it, right? Say non ci piove, you don't conjugate it, you don't change it, it's always the same. It just means no, there's no question about it, there's no doubt about it, right? So are you going to, I don't know, are you going to win the race? And if you're very confident, non ci piove, like I don't have a single, that I don't have the smallest doubt. So in this case, if you're asking pizza and I'm saying, sure, yeah, of course, pizza.
Non ci piove.
Yeah, that's a
Okay.
useful little
Yeah, it is.
phrase. Yeah.
It's a very useful little phrase, is that?
I would
Right,
agree.
okay.
How would you say in English something like that? Do you have a literal translation, let's say, for this?
Well, we don't have a literal translation for that at all. I mean, you're almost saying don't worry about it.
Something like that. Yeah, it's like no question about it.
Yeah, no question about it. No, we don't have anything like that.
Haha. So we finally beat the English, the biggest creators of idioms in the world. We have something they don't have.
Interesting. The biggest
Yeah.
creators of idioms in the world. I've never considered that being an Olympic sport.
If it were, you would win. No, I think, especially in England, you have such a like so many idioms that you use so often, and it's very confusing.
Yeah, I bet it must be. I really bet it
Yes.
must be for people learning the language. It must be absolutely quite frightening.
Yeah, it's just like some people, the way I feel it, some people from England almost only speak in idioms. It's always metaphorical what they're saying, which is, for example, I feel like in America, in the United States, they tend to be a bit more literal when they speak. But in England, it's really a lot more about metaphors and idioms, so it's very confusing.
Yeah, well, it is very
So
good.
let's talk about this third conjugation then, Martin, very quickly. And we said there are two main forms. Okay, let's take the verb dormire, the most important form. You're taking a very big book over there, so I'm a bit scared here. You're gonna correct me or something.
No, I'm not, I would never dream of correcting you.
So if you take the verb dormire, for example, Martin, which is, I would say, the most common. The third conjugation, not many useful verbs, right? It's definitely the least common. It's definitely the least interesting. So let's take the verb dormire. How would you conjugate the verb dormire?
Dormire, I would conjugate it with dormo, dormi, dorme, dormiamo, do. Now you see, now I say dormite,
Good.
and then I would say dormono.
Very good. Yeah, so I said everything right. Just to repeat, io dormo, tu dormi, lui dorme, noi dormiamo, voi dormite, and then loro dormono. And if you were to compare it to the second conjugation, what differences would you say there are between, say, dormire and, for example, mettere, to put?
Well, the only one that's jumping out at me at the moment is the second person plural,
Correct.
dormite.
Yeah, that's correct. That's the only difference. Voi mettete, ite, but voi dormite, ite. That's the only difference. And it's extremely common when people are learning and beginning to speak Italian that they say dormete, because they will basically assimilate second and third conjugation, which is fine. I mean, it's a small mistake, but if you want to be correct, it's dormite, not dormete. And this is number one. But then we have verbs like, let's take, for example, capire, which we talked about before. And many other verbs behave the same way, as we will see. And we were seeing this capisco, right? This weird ISC, you called it, form, isc form. It has a name in Italian, which is verbo incoativo. Yeah, it's a ver nobody knows, so don't bother. But it comes from Latin. I actually checked. We were on a break here, It does come from Latin. It used to be a different thing, and now we took the name, but okay, whatever. So if you take the verb capire, for example, Martin, how would you go about conjugating that one instead?
Okay, so capisco, and then it's where the sound changes now because
Right.
it's the same. You still got the ISC, but it's
Right.
capisci,
Same.
and then capisce. So you're ending in an I in the second person and an E in the third person. And then The IC goes out of the window then. Let's just forget it actually ever happened for the first person and second person plural.
Right?
So then you just get the regular capiamo, capite, and then, oh, didn't we miss that IC? Let's bring it back. And then you get the capiscono.
Very good. Yeah, so everything right. So just to repeat again, io capisco, SCO, tu capisci, SCI. And as you said correctly, SC is one of those groups of letters that change depending on what follows. So if followed by E or A in Italian, or I or E in Italian, is going to sound like a sh, like a fish, SH basically in English. You follow by any other vowel or by an H, is going to sound like a sk sound. So, which I guess it's something that happens also in English. This difference between sk and sh, like the famous
Does.
schedule or schedule, depending on who you talk to. That you're shaking your head, so I assume you have very strong opinions on this verb, Martin.
We just these are just things that English people talk about when they run out of conversations about the weather. It's how do you pronounce this word? Well, I pronounce it like
Interesting.
this. Vase, vase, scone, scone.
Right.
There are absolutely lots of them.
Okay, very interesting. But we have no discussion about this because Italian pronunciation is very straightforward. We all agree upon it. Very few differences. The E, the S can be slightly different, the O. But besides that, it's the same in the whole country. So we said capisco, SCO, capisci, SCI, lui o lei capisce, SCE. And then, as you said, the noi and the voi go back to what they should be. So noi capiamo, voi capite, and then the loro again, loro capiscono, SCO and O. And noi and voi often, and this is a good thing to remember in irregular verbs, noi and voi tend to be similar to each other and tend to be more regular than the rest of the conjugation, very often. So if you think of the verb avere, avere is a mess, but then noi abbiamo, voi avete, they look almost normal, right? That the abbiamo, the double B instead of the V, but okay, obviously something happens phonetically, probably in about 500 years ago, but they're kind of regular, whereas the whole rest of the verb avere is completely irregular and it makes no sense. So the funny thing is that capire, finire, we have many verbs in the third conjugation, preferire, colpire, stupire, more than half work like this, and they all have these very same suffix. So they're irregular, but they're also regular. So I don't know. It's just a very common thing that we do.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
But now, if you go to New Jersey, now you know it's capisci, not capish. So I can know.
Or strange varieties of you'll just hear them just say, "Hey, Gabish," or just
Yes, it's
really weird thing.
well, it's actually interesting historically because many people that lived in New Jersey and generally in the East Coast were coming from southern Italy, basically before Italian became a real thing, and they never spoke Italian in the first place. So the language that they went there speaking was dialect. Therefore, that's why they speak funny, because they just don't speak Italian. They speak a different language, technically, because as we know in Italy, we don't really have dialects, we have languages. I think we talked about this once, Martin, but Italian, Sicilian, Neapolitan, they all come from Latin. So they technically are just like Catalan in Spanish. Catalan is not a dialect of Spanish, it's a language because it comes from Latin parallel to Spanish and not from Spanish.
There are something like 28
I was reading that we have 31 languages technically spoken in
31.
Italy, which include
Wow.
French, German, Latin. So I would say something like that. Yes, it's in the high 20s. Yes.
Yeah, it's quite a lot. Quite a lot. Interesting. Right, okay. Irregular verbs.
We have definitely
Venire.
dire. It's I would say the only one that I can think of.
Venire.
Oh, venire, yeah, also important. Good.
And then a very, very irregular one, uscire.
Uscire as well. You're right, yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah. And then I've got three more for you, ready?
Okay, go.
Morire.
Morire, yeah, tricky.
Yeah, salire. And finally, udire.
Udire, okay, but we can just say sentire, which
Yeah,
is
we can.
I would not. Okay, here just to for maybe listeners to understand irregular verbs in Italian, I would have a seriously hard time conjugating udire right now. I would probably figure it out mostly, but
Really?
I would
Really?
say so. I think it does odo, right? Io odo, ODO.
Odo.
Yeah, there
Yeah,
you go.
yeah.
Okay, so two.
That's all you're
That I think that proved the point that I know how to
gonna
conjugate it. So now we can try. Io odo, tu odi, lui ode. I think it does this. Noi udiamo, voi udite.
Yes.
Ooh. And then I think you can have both. Loro odono or udiscono.
Really? I
I
didn't know that,
think
but
both would be accept. I would
ordinary.
say odono just because we are going. Usually, it's going to be the same as the first three persons. But I think udiscono is also acceptable as an incoativo verb. But you see, I'm not sure. So irregular verbs in Italian. And I was telling you, I think last week, try to ask an Italian what the passato remoto is of the verb cucinare, and then, or better, cuocere, even better. And then you're gonna see them just.
Cotto.
Yeah, io cossi, tu cocesti. It becomes insanely irregular. So we don't quite know. Also, the verb udire is not very commonly used in modern Italian, let's say.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to wander around using it then.
No. The other ones that you said, just say them once again, since you have the list in front of you.
dire,
Dire.
dire obviously is really important.
Yeah, to say.
And then salire to go up or to
Salire,
get
yeah.
on like a bus or whatever.
Correct.
Uscire to go out, and then morire, which is also to go out, but only at the end of your life.
Yes, in a different kind of out.
Yeah.
Good. So these four verbs definitely important. Udire, again, not commonly
Venire.
used.
Venire as well.
And venire also very important one, yes, and also very regular. Okay, good. So it's funny because you know them because you studied them. I never studied these verbs. I just know them, so I wouldn't be able to list them as irregular if you asked me. But now I know.
Okay, I'll give you a test next week.
Yeah, I passed the udire test, so that's something harder. But when we talk about irregular verbs, they can get very, very complicated, and we just don't use them, and we just do not necessarily know how to conjugate them. I mean, even people that speak perfectly good Italian, we make mistakes. With specific uncommon verbs. It's just, the way that in English you have spelling bees, because even people that know very well their language, they may not know how to spell a very hard word.
Yeah, I think again that's the same in every language, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. But for us, for example, spelling bees wouldn't make sense because pronunciation basically tells you how something is written, so you would never have a doubt about writing something that you hear in Italian.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. Grazie mille.
Grazie a te Martin e grazie mille a tutti. Thank you Martin and thank you everybody else. E ci vediamo settimana prossima. Ci
Sì, ci sentiamo la settimana prossima.
sentiamo, very good. Thank you. Settimana prossima. A presto.
Ok, ciao a tutti.
Ciao ciao.